But it's great to meet you in person. I'm just going to start off real simple and essentially just let you tell your story.
Sure. My name is Tommy Houlihan, and I own Times Square Tattoo. That's in Times Square, New York City, right in Times Square. And I own a tattoo, you know, it's a tattoo shop. And before it's a tattoo shop, it's a ministry devoted specifically to the Miraculous Medal of the Blessed Mother. So it's a ministry first and a tattoo shop second. I've been tattooing for 36 years, and over the last several years, I prayed very, very hard on whether or not I should be tattooing at all. And I stuck with it because it's my profession, it's my line of work, but I did a lot of praying. And I'm looking at what's going on in the tattoo industry right now, and it's extremely satanic, extremely. There's a lot of like blasphemies and evil images. Everybody's getting upside down crosses tattooed on them. Everybody. And out of all of this, there's not one person in tattooing that has anybody evangelizing for Christ and the Blessed Mother. There's not one. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I decided that this should be a ministry for the Miraculous Medal of the Blessed Mother. Now, since I'm in Times Square, it's a tourist area. It's like the tourist mecca of the world, right? So people come in and they get a little image, you know, a little apple or a skyline, little stamps, but they come in from all over the world every day. So it's not like I get a lot of repeat customers. Most of these people, it's their first time in New York City, and it's a big deal for them. And so they, when they come in and ask for their little tattoo, first thing I do is I give them a Miraculous Medal, which makes this a worldwide ministry, because people are taking the medals back all over the world. They're going back to France, they're going back to Germany, they're going back to Canada, Argentina. I mean, just everywhere in the world, because it is Times Square. I even had people come in from Easter Island, you know, and they got their medal.
I didn't even know there were people on Easter Island other than those big statues.
What they said. They said, because I always say to people, where are you from? We're from Easter Island. I was like, isn't that where they have all those little crabs that run over every year? You know, yeah. I saw a documentary about that. But So it's a worldwide ministry. Downstairs, I have the front and the back of a Miraculous Medal, 17 inches each, on the front downstairs. Yeah. So there's hundreds of thousands of people walking by these blessed Miraculous Medals every day.
Wow. What made you choose the Miraculous Medal? Did you read a story that moved you? Did you have an experience with it?
Zachary King. I became very close with, actually, Zachary's my best friend, not just close friends. He's my best friend.
Wow. And I did not know that. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's my best buddy. I just went to visit him not too long ago. Out where he is, I flew out to see him. I'll be seeing him soon, because we're both actually speaking at an event in New Jersey in July. But I listened to Zachary's story before I had met him, and his conversion through the Miraculous, specifically the Miraculous Medal, was incredibly profound. So I give Miraculous Medals to people hoping that they get the same conversion. And if they're already Catholics, but they're not good Catholics, first, hopefully they convert to Catholicism on the spot, the way Zach did. Mm-hmm. And if they're, you know, if they're Catholics, but they're not good Catholics, that they become a good Catholic. And if they're not, you know, if they're good Catholics, that I want them to become great Catholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So that, when did you hear that story?
3 years ago. About 3 years ago. And I contacted Zach. At one of his talks, there was a phone number to contact someone on underneath, a woman by the name of Missy Riley Smith. And they were talking about the Bread of Life vans. You know about those?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so the Bread of Life vans is what Zachary, the idea that he came up with, that the Blessed Mother told him, you know, come up with an idea to end abortion. And that came up, the idea of the Bread of Life vans, which essentially is a big van. And it's got a Catholic altar in the back, and a priest goes to an abortion vendor, parks in a parking lot, and says a mass in the parking lot, and then does an exorcism on the building. And then oftentimes they'll do a, you know, procession around the building with the Eucharist, Eucharistic procession. And I was at that time, I was like, well, that's great. I'd like to finance one, but you can't do any of that without the bishop's permission. And we got the cardinal here. So it's very, very difficult to even get through to the guy. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But I contacted Missy, and Missy said, talk to Zach. And then I started talking to Zach, and then we just became friends, and that's it. So now when Zachary travels, I'm his traveling assistant because he's disabled.
Yeah.
But we speak, you know, almost every single day for quite a bit. And, but it was Zachary's story of conversion, through the miraculous medal that brought me to where I am now.
When you heard that story, were you already practicing your faith, or did that kind of impel you to practice your faith?
I was hit and miss. I was a hit and miss guy. You know, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic boarding schools. You know, I had an obstreperous youth, we'll say. You know, there's times that I would run to church when I was in really in a bad way here. You know. Yeah. But I did keep some holy days, some I didn't. Sometimes I went to Mass, sometimes I didn't. But I'd say the last 6 years, I've really been cracking down. And it's the last 3 years where I decided to turn my business into a ministry. Wow. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of images that I don't do on people. And I explain to them why. And people just don't, when you look at tattoos, see, tattooing got huge, it blew up. If you don't have one, you know a dozen people who have them. You know what I mean? And since it's getting so big, and I'm seeing just so many horrific images, and images that people don't even think, wouldn't even think, are, you know, evil or satanic. I'll give you an example. Excuse me. Today I had a young guy and a girl came in, and it's supposedly Pride Month, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And he wanted a little image with a rainbow on it. And I said, oh, do you like rainbows, or is this like a pride thing? And she said, no, it's pride. And I said, well, I can't do that. And she was like, well, why do you have a problem with, you know, with people? I said, no, I don't, I have nothing against homosexuals. I was born and raised in New York City. You know, it's, a good chunk of the city is homosexual. I have no issue with it. But my issue is Planned Parenthood flies pride flags at every one of their locations, and they sell pride swag, and all, as do all their abortion vendors. They all have pride, you know, rainbow flags all over the place. And at every pro-abortion rally, that flag is everywhere. So to me, I don't see it as you know, the gay flag. I see it as the abortion flag. When I look at that, I see it as the abortion flag. That's the abortion standard. And that I can't do. And I explained that to them. And I said, look, I'm a Catholic. I can't, you know, I'm pro-life. I tell these people this, and this is New York City.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, are very uncomfortable with saying that kind of thing. You know, they don't want to offend anybody. I'm not worried about offending anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. So they change their mind, and oftentimes they get something else. They go, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, well, yeah. You know.
So. That's amazing, because it's, you know, it makes me think of like when Jesus asked his apostles, who do you say that I am? One of the things that they don't catch is where he asked them. And he asked them that in front of a temple to Caesar, like kind of in a capital city of that area. So basically it was like in the heartbeat of sin. And so, yeah. and so because, like, you know, to profess your faith in a church is one thing, to profess it like in front of a satanic temple, in front of a bunch of angry people, that takes a lot more courage. And that's sort of what you're doing, where you're at the heartbeat of kind of like a city of sin, right at the center of it, not just like in the suburbs, but like in the heart, almost like in the heart of hell, and you're professing your faith. I mean, that's like the grace of God.
The Church of Scientology is across the street from me. It's like 15 stories high, directly across the street.
Wow.
I got to go throw some St. Benedict medals over there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Are there other Catholic ministries like nearby in your vicinity?
Oh, my tattoo shop is open 6 days a week. And as far as I know, I'm the only Catholic ministry 6 days a week in Times Square.
Wow.
Or anywhere around here with the exception of the Catholic churches. Yeah. I don't know any other Catholic. There's none. There's nobody speaking out for the Blessed Mother. There's nobody speaking out for Christ. And believe me, I love Christ, but I go on more about the Blessed Mother. I mean, she's my, you know, I love my mom so much, you know.
Yeah,
I love
my,
and I tell people, sometimes I tell people I can't do this image. Why not? I said, because my mother's not going to like it. And I point to the picture. You know? My mother's not going to like it, you know.
I'm sure you never thought that you'd be the one having a ministry there. You're almost thinking, where is everyone? Where's the other people fighting with me?
In this line, you know, the tattooing, it was always clandestine and, you know, kind of dark and mysterious. And so I wouldn't expect a lot of people to be doing it when I first started. I first started tattooing around 1990. Mm-hmm. But now that it is so huge and the, you know, I mean, these people are prostituting what talent they have. Most of them are not even real pros. They're just, you know, when COVID came, when COVID came around, is you're looking around, you see more tattoo shops since then, because they got COVID money. The kids, they were sitting at home. They bought these little plastic tattoo pens, and all of a sudden, 2 years later, hey, I'm opening the shop. I'm a tattoo artist. But they do anything. And it seems like they're all trying to outdo each other on who could do the bigger blasphemy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've even seen tattoos of people saying it's aborted. It's like it's a boy, but it's aborted. Wow. You know, or something to that effect. I've been seeing I've been seeing images of people who are celebrating abortion getting tattooed on them.
Yeah.
So I'm very pro-life. You know, I was always down there at Planned Parenthood, I can't say always, but I made it there a fair amount of times praying the rosary, the one on Bleecker Street, and they just shut down.
Yeah.
New York City. And then the flagship Planned Parenthood is in Brooklyn, the very first one in the United States.
Wow.
So since the one on Bleecker Street shut down, now we'll be praying the rosary over at the flagship one. Hopefully we can get that closed down as well. You know?
I'm sure with this, you see a lot of God's grace working. Maybe sometimes people reject it, but can you think of any instances of people where it impacted their faith, or you saw that sort of conversion, or maybe it led to it and later on they reached out to you?
Well, I've had people reach out to me afterwards. But I also give out a fair amount of St. Benedict's when I talk to some people, and I give out some rosaries too, but primarily it's the Miraculous Medal. I keep it in English and in French because I have so many French clients. And St. Catherine, she was French, the one that brought us the Miraculous Medal.
Yeah.
Instant conversions, I've certainly seen people light up they were just given a diamond.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten messages from people. I have some people put it on their necklace, like, oh, I got to put it on. I've had messages from people, you know, saying, I'm still wearing my medal. And, you know, or I've seen people that, look, I still got my medal, you know. And I had somebody message me from Germany recently about I'd given their mother a rosary when they were there. And my mother's still wearing it. You know, she won't take it off. I'd say maybe 60% of the people that I give it to are happy.
Yeah.
They're happy. And they're actually kind of shocked. They, you know, it's not something they expect in a tattoo shop. But when you walk into my shop also, I mean, I sure have even my tattoo images are crosses.
Yeah.
You know? Blessed Mother's all, you know, I got a whole wall covered in rosaries. It's a little different than what you would expect for a tattoo parlor. But, you know, I've gotten... For the most part, it's good reactions. I get some people who are mediocre about it, or you know, lukewarm. Yeah. I had, you know, I once in a while some people leave them behind.
Yeah,
they'll just leave them. When I give them to them, they'll leave it on a chair or something. But I did have one person in particular, you know, a young woman who I believed may possibly have manifested when I gave it to her.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's people that come in that have, you know, oppression or even full possession.
That brings up an issue. You know, Zachary, I was talking to Zach, he said, you got to use holy water in your inks. I was like, can I do that? He said, yeah, sure, why not? You know, and he said, I'd be really interested to see what happens if you tattoo someone who's possessed with holy water in your ink. So, Zach's waiting for that reaction, you know.
I had an interview with him where he talked about my day job is I'm a therapist, but he talked about the psychiatrist lady who painted her office and put exercise salt in the paint. And she said that the joy that people feel now is significantly higher when they're in there. And some of the people that worked in the building who had something on them, they can't even come into the room because it's so powerful. So maybe that's something you should do.
Well, I didn't think about putting paint in salt. If he would have recommended it, I certainly would have done it when I repainted. But, you know, I gave the place a good dose right when I was closed for a while. I closed for some time and took a break, and I actually went to Pennsylvania for a few minutes and opened up a little shop just to get out of the city. And I came back and I reopened here. But the place is blessed. All my machines are blessed. Everything's blessed. You know, getting back to that girl that I believe perhaps manifested, it wasn't that it was what she said and the way she said it. She didn't say anything about God. First of all, she said, what is this? And I said, well, it's a blessed miraculous medal. I tell everybody that. And most people, a lot of these people don't speak English. So I said, oh, blessed miraculous medal. And I make a sign, oh, you know, Marie, Marie. But this woman, young woman, when I gave it to her, and she said, what is this? I said, it's a blessed miraculous medal. And she said one or two things, and she's looking at it. And she said, you're Catholic? And I said, yeah. And then I forgot, this was a few months ago, but there was a couple of words back and forth. And she goes, you Catholics and your cute little purgatory. What she said to me. She didn't talk about heaven. She didn't talk about hell. She zeroed in on purgatory. There was no in between. So there wasn't like we were debating heaven or hell. She just went right to purgatory, which made me think this is a little bit more than just someone who's, you know, loves God or doesn't love God, you know. And I mentioned it to Zach, and he said that. I said, what do you think about that? Is that something that, you know, like a demon in particular? He said, absolutely. That they would zero in on that. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
She kept saying, you and your cute little purgatory. I was like,
yeah. It's an interesting thing. It would kind of throw you off to hear something like that.
Yeah. I mean, who attacks purgatory?
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit when I talked to you on the phone, some of the spiritual attacks. Mention that because it must be a heavy burden if you're kind of in the middle of the battlefield. Yeah. What is that like? How often are you getting hit by those stray bullets?
Well, my business is definitely taking a hit, without a doubt, you know. I'm in Times Square. I've been tattooing for, you know, New York City for over 30 years. Even though, you know, COVID did change things and there's more people running around with tattoo machines right now, but business has slowed down, and it's odd that it's slowed down where I am at my location, because I'm in Times Square. It's slowed down more than I expected since I started doing this. Mm-hmm. Since I started doing this. Before I actually turned into a ministry, business was a lot better. And it's not like there's a word out, like, don't go there because, you know, the guys that are, you know, some sort of fanatic. That's not it, because I don't get repeat customers. You know, people essentially, you look me up online, where do I get tattooed near Times Square? I'm the first one that comes up, they come in. The day before yesterday, I wear a five-fold scapular, and I was walking down the street coming to open up the shop. And when I hit my seven sorrows, my little novena for that, I do seven Hail Marys for the seven sorrows. A homeless woman walked up to me and rammed her nails on my arm and twisted and raked her nails down my arm. I live in New York City my whole life. I have lots of tattoos and I'm physically, you know, large guy. And I wasn't used to this little, you know, like a little homeless person running up and attacking you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That happened specifically when I was saying my seven sorrows. There's other things that are happening. Look, I just ordered a sterilizer and you know, been buying equipment for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, this particular company seems to be a scam. And that's never happened to me before. There's like little financial things that I get hit with, and I've been doing this a long time. If I'm buying medical equipment, I know what's medical equipment, and you know, so that to me that wasn't normal.
Yeah.
It wasn't normal that I got scammed on medical equipment. It seems to me like it's little things like that. They're trying to annoy me, you know, So
when you look at some of the different things from your faith, especially like in all that, some of the difficulties that you have, what gives you the most strength? What do you think are the things from the faith that you particularly see this, man, this really helps me go through day by day and keep going?
Adoration. I'm very fortunate. You know, New York City, Manhattan's got 1.5 million people. Brooklyn's got over 2 million people. The Bronx has got 1 million. Queens has got almost 1 million. Staten Island's got 500,000. And there's only one church that has a 24-hour adoration chapel.
Wow.
Only one out of all of this. And I've got
far is it?
Pardon me?
How far is it?
Well, for me, it's a subway ride. It's about 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, to get on the train, wait for the train and get down there. And I've got a key for it. But at night, you know, they put them in a safe. They have a chapel. It's a beautiful chapel, St. Joseph's down on 6th Avenue. They have a chapel, you know, beautiful chapel with a safe with Divine Mercy, Jesus. So, well, I usually go late at night, so it's always locked in a safe, but he's still there, you know. Adoration's been a big thing for me. I made a little novena specifically for the Miraculous Medal for the people I give it to. You know, I just I do an Apostles' Creed, then a Memorare, and then I say, "Oh Mary, conceived without sin, you know, pray for us who have recourse to thee." I'll say that, you know, 10 times, then a Memorare, and so then I'll do 3 decades like that, and ended it with the Hail Holy Queen. That certainly seems to. It's my own little chaplet, and I was like, "Can you make up your own little chaplet?" Well, why not? I did, you know, it brings me a lot of comfort. I mean, I enjoy doing it. I think about the people that I give the medal to.
Yeah, no, that's amazing what you do, you know. And I think, sometimes when we serve the Lord, that there's not that same maybe like abundance that other people have. But I remember reading when you read about the Israelites, everyone around them, especially like Egypt. They had more food than they knew what to do with, but Israel always had just enough. And that was God's way of saying, look, I'm not going to give you a lot, but not a little. You will have enough to kind of make it through. And I find that in my own life, you know, I'm not always like with my counseling schedule, I'm not like booked out months, but I always have what I need. Sometimes you wish you had a little more, you know how that is, but you see that God will, just as you need it, like 3 more customers come in and you see that that's from the hand of God.
It's funny that you say that, because for the longest time, I was the only guy in Times Square. And I had, you know, 3 people working for me full time, including myself. And each one of us was doing 10, 15 tattoos a day, all of us. And we were turning people away. And, you know, COVID did slow things down. But I was still doing good. Now that I turned it into a ministry, I'm getting enough to get by. I'm getting enough to get by. I'm getting enough to get the bills paid and to eat. And, you know, I mean, I for all those years, I certainly lived, you know, I lived a nightlife, and I tailored clothes and, you know, expensive jewelry and running around all, you know, like in late nights and the bars and the steakhouse and stuff. And I lived that way for many, many years, you know. But since I turned it into a ministry, it's not like that anymore. I got enough to get by. I got enough to pay the bills. I don't know. Just getting scammed by this company just now, I'm gonna be like, oh, I got rent coming up, you know. But I think that was an attack, because I know enough, you know, about this line of work, and so. I'm looking at the Blessed Mother, and I talked to her, and now I'm down to 2 people who work for me, and they're both part time.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it's slow, I look at the Blessed Mother and I'm just like, you know, thank you for at least, you know, making sure that they made a decent money today,
yeah.
You know, and oftentimes they don't, but they stick around anyway. Plus they're young, and I've been doing this a long time. I teach them all kinds of stuff. They like that.
Yeah.
But the Blessed Mother is definitely, she's definitely making sure that I'm getting by, but I'm certainly not living the life that I used to live.
Yeah.
Life of, you know, decadence and overabundance and squandering and all that kind of, you know, and I lived that way for decades, and that's all over with now. And, you know, she's I have a huge picture over there, and I'm looking at her right now, you know, it's like, And she looks, I can see her, she's looking at me, you know, it's like, she's like, you know, keeping her eye on me. And I do point to the picture. I do point to the picture. I say, my mother won't like that. For instance, young woman wanted to get Betty Boop tattooed on her, little Betty Boop image, right? Yeah. And I said, I can't, I can't. Well, so I want Betty Boop, but I want devil horns and a devil tail on it.
I see.
And she said, I said, well, where do you want to put that? And she said, on my hip. I said, I can't do that. She said, well, why not? I said, well, there's two reasons. First of all, you want to put horns on her and a tail, which you're automatically making her a demon. And secondly, you're putting it in an area where you're trying to make yourself more sexually appealing. See, that's twofold why I can't do that. You understand? And she was wearing a cross. And I said, you're wearing that cross and you can go home and take it off, but you can't take this off. And she goes, you know, I didn't think about that. I said, well, I'm glad you did. And I gave her a miraculous medal. Now, she didn't get anything else. She left.
Yeah.
But she, with that thought in her head, you know, thinking twice about that kind of thing, you know.
And that's, when you look at the scriptures, one of the things that you learn is that one of the ways that the Jews and Jesus taught was by asking questions. And that's the point. He wants us to think twice. Because sometimes in that second, like in that little space, we can decide, you know what? I don't want to choose evil. I want to, maybe they don't know what they want to choose, but at least they make the decision. I don't want to choose outright evil. Let me consider something else. And then the metal can work in grace, and the Blessed Mother, you know, moves in their heart and mind. It's amazing.
And oftentimes they still stick around and they get something else. It's, I didn't think about that, but I'll do this. So I'm like, okay, you know, maybe a little apple on her ankle or something. But you know, when you got to go by the rule of St. Paul. Now, you know, whatever's beautiful, whatever's, you know, the whole, I don't know by heart, but we know the rule of St. Paul. Whatever's lovely, whatever's, you know, I have it written down. I should have memorized it, but I haven't. But also, you know, one of these days, God is going to say to me, why did you put that image on my daughter, that ugly, evil image, and bring all this badness around her? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
What am I going to say, for money? That can't be my answer. That was my answer for a long time. I would say, now, my entire life, there was a lot of people that had, you know, over the years, wanted pentagrams and 666s and stuff like that. That's stuff I just wouldn't do, even back when I was young, first starting out. I was like, no, I'm just not doing that. But I can't, you know, things have changed for me, you know. And I prayed on it a lot, on whether or not I should be tattooing at all. And I actually had a discussion with two exorcists. Three exorcists.
Wow.
I'm not going to, you know, throw names around, but, you know, you definitely know who they are.
Yeah.
At least one of them, probably two of them, you know who they are. And I told one of them, when I took a break from New York and I opened up a little shop in Pennsylvania just to get out of New York, I left New York for a year, right? And I opened up a little tattoo shop in Pennsylvania just to get out of the city. I never left the city, you know, I just never left. And that was actually where I had started this ministry, in that little shop, because I was going to be like, I'm not going to tattoo anymore, you know. And then I really prayed on it, and I said, okay, let me see if I can do this as a ministry. I talked to Zach about it a lot, too. Zach's a great advisor to me. And I chose a place that had a Masonic temple to the left of me, a Wiccan coven to the right of me. Across the street, they sold miraculous medals. I mean, they sold Ouija boards. And there's me across the street giving out miraculous medals. And I was at an event, and I spoke to an exorcist there, and I told him, I said, Father, you know, I got a tattoo shop, and this, you know, this is an exorcist. And I said, you know, in tattooing, Blessed Mother's got nobody. You know, I mean, there's people that are getting upside down crosses, they're getting, you know, and the tattoo, the quality of the work that they're doing is beautiful, by the way. These images are beautifully done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the satanic images look like the best done out of all of them, because they're, of course, satanic.
Yeah.
And the devil likes, you know, with the beauty. So I said to him, so I'm giving out miraculous medals and surrounded by all of this. I said, I'm in a den of vipers. And this exorcist looks at me. He goes, well, you're the anti-venom. It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
That was good enough for me. And then I spoke to another exorcist about that and told him about my ministry. And he approved of it. And I had another one. He didn't approve or disapprove. He says, "Oh, well, I'm not really big into tattoos." So he was kind of, you know, he didn't really say anything. He didn't say like, "Listen, you shouldn't be doing that."
Yeah.
You know, this is a big debate right now, whether people should, you know, Catholics should be getting tattooed or not. And they said, well, it says, you know, don't get tattooed in Leviticus. No, it doesn't. The word tattoo didn't show up until the 1740s or 1760s.
Yeah.
It was in Captain Cook's log, his travels when he was in Tahiti or Polynesia or whatever. That's where the word came up. It's not scripture.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the catechism that says anything about it. You know, and we have to remember also that like the Crusaders, you know, they got Catholic images tattooed all over their bodies. So if they had gotten dismembered in battle, that body part was identified as a Catholic and got a Catholic.
Wow. So, I did not know that.
So there's no, you know, tattooing is not going anywhere. That's the point. And it's blowing up. Everybody's covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
You've got to have at least one guy in the middle of all that muck, you know. I saw somebody not too long ago. It wasn't the other day, but it was fairly recent. They had a tattoo of somebody. It looked like George Soros dressed as the Pope as a tattoo, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like.
So. I mean, one of the things that I really think and have learned is, you know, Jesus, he says, go and baptize every creature. You know, I think, and I always thought it was interesting that he didn't say every person, because he literally wants everything, every music, every art form, every social media tattoo. If it's in the universe, he wants it to be submitted to him. And if whenever we throw it away, which sometimes as Catholics, we do that, someone else takes it over and they use it for evil. So I think you have to be doing what you're doing. It's your way of kind of baptizing the art of tattoos and making it Catholic.
It certainly isn't going away. It's so huge now. I mean, when I first started again, it was very quiet, very kind of secretive, especially in New York City. It was illegal. You had to go call somebody and know somebody and go down the stairs here and go around the corner.
Yeah.
And it's not like that anymore. I mean, it's very widely accepted. Everybody's covered in tattoos, even executives and all kinds of people are covered. But I still have yet to. Now there are Catholics who do tattoos, and you know, and there's sometimes they'll turn down images, but I know that they're not evangelizing the way I am, and I'm not smearing anybody. I'm just saying, you know, they'll turn stuff down, and that's great. But I mean, I go more at it than just turning things down, you know.
Yeah.
Like being in New York City, you're dealing with people of all different cultures and faiths. And if someone wants, you know, a Buddhist image, I'm not doing it. I just won't do it. I'm like, let's. Because you worship this deity, this demon, essentially, and I'm not going to be responsible for putting that image on you for something that you worship. It's false. So I tell people these things, man. I tell them, you know. So, and I have yet to get attacked over that. I'm getting attacked in other ways. I'm getting attacked financially. You know, I'm getting, you know, some old tax problems are showing up from an old accountant that didn't do his job. Now they're showing up now that I was like, you know, so I feel like those are like attacks, you know, just different ways. And he's like, I don't know. You know, let's see what we can do here. Let's see what we can do there, you know. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, all these things it's all straightened out and taken care of. But it's just annoying, you know. And I don't think any of this stuff would have cropped up if I had been, you know, hadn't been doing my ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tommy, I think it's amazing to hear your story and to get to know you a little bit. And I hope everyone that sees this will pray for you that your ministry is more and more fruitful. That whoever comes, that they're impacted by grace through your prayers, through your example, and especially through the Blessed Mother and the Miraculous Medal.
Thank you.
Because we need it there, like right at the heart of there. And if anyone's ever there in New York City, or if I ever go, stop and go and pray with Tommy, go say hi. Maybe you're not going to get a tattoo, but maybe you're going to encourage him and you know, give him some of that faith and love that we all have.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, Tommy, how about let's close with a prayer, and then we'll finish up.
Okay.
Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Mother, in a way that only you could, please make all that we do, especially Tommy's work, fruitful. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much.